What is the doctrine of faith toward God? Why is faith toward God so important? Where do I get more faith toward God? Who can help me understand how much faith toward God I have already? When will I know that I have enough faith toward God? What does faith toward God look like? How can I put faith toward God in my daily life? Welcome to Scripture School. My name is Christine Carpenter, and I've been studying the Scriptures for decades. Maybe you have too. Maybe you've been in Bible studies. Maybe you've been in Bible schools. Maybe you don't have any study in the Scriptures at all, or maybe you've forgotten what you once knew. We're getting back to Bible basics today. We're going to learn more about our roots of our Judeo-Christian heritage, the heritage that forms our society today. So I hope you've brought your Scripture School supplies. If you're not watching on DVD, be sure to put in a video tape cassette so that you can review this again and share it with your friends and family. Grab your favorite writing instrument and your favorite Bible, your Scripture School notebook. We're going to be doing some Scripture School exercises. Let's start off by getting back to our focus scripture. That would be 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, remember, if you can find all the T's toward the back of the New Testament, Thessalonians comes first, then Timothy, and then Titus. So we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. I've written out what the New Living Translation says, and it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us what to do and what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. In this session of Scripture School, we're going to continue with our study of doctrine. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us doctrine. We're going to go back into our Hebrew scriptures, and we're going to look at those scriptures in just a moment. But first, let's remember what doctrine is. It's a principle or a body of principles taught or advocated in instruction, a principle or creed of principles presented for acceptance or belief. Dogma, theory, teaching, learning. In past sessions, we've talked about false doctrines, and those would include the doctrine of men and the doctrine of devils. But our search is for the correct doctrine, and that is the doctrine of Christ. And Jesus said he got his doctrine from God. So these will remind us to beware and to only choose the correct doctrine. Now let's go specifically to our second focus scripture, which is found in Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews also is in the New Testament. And you will find it toward the back of the New Testament. And chapter 6, we're going to verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Well, these are foundations in the doctrine of Christ, in the first principles. And so we're going to the second doctrine of Christ, and that would be faith toward God. We'll be looking at faith toward God. In the New Living Translation, I've written out what it says. It says for Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead to become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start all over again with the importance of turning away from evil deeds. King James Version calls that dead works. And placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. So we're talking about the second foundation principle, faith toward God. What is the doctrine of faith toward God? To help us better understand faith, to begin with, let's look at some synonyms. Faith is assent, belief, trust, assurance, certitude, conviction, certainty, credence. The New Living Translation says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. How different from this way of faith is the way of the law, which says, if you wish to find life by obeying the law, you must obey all its commands. Christian faith, to believe in God and to have faith toward God, comes by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift that we have faith. It is a gift given by God to every heart that agrees to receive these free gifts from God. So we see that the doctrine of faith toward God is a solid foundation of belief, trust, assurance, certitude, conviction, and certainty that we have in God, not in ourselves, to save us from our sins, past, present, and future. Why is faith toward God so important? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Where do these three references, all citing the just shall live by faith, where do they come from? Well, they come from a little Old Testament book written by a prophet. We call Habakkuk a minor prophet because he has very few pages in his prophecy. But no prophet of God is minor. Habakkuk was questioning God about why the unfaithful succeed. And he had other questions also that are worth reading. And he said, God, this was God's answer. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, that would be the unfaithful, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. These are the words of God. God says the just shall live by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone coming to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek God. But it's not because we sought God first. Only the Holy Spirit working within us can draw us to God and to that saving relationship with God. It's the Holy Spirit who comes to God's chosen people, or comes to the people who choose God through Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes with faith to make us holy, meaning that God sees us holy because our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, because we have received Jesus and the faith of Christ. We are in faith and we are holy as He is holy. Also, as believers, we are becoming holy as we learn to live for God. This is called sanctification, the process of Christian growth through which the Holy Spirit rising up within us prompts us to do the right thing and gives us the ability to choose to do right because of Christ living in us. I'm not saying we always make the right choice, but we are always given the right choice. And when we don't make the right choice, we have the act of repentance and forgiveness. When we obey the commands and the will of God through Jesus, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, God is pleased with us. Where do I get more faith toward God, you might be thinking? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he told them, "My job was to plant seed in your hearts." And Apollos, another man of God, watered it. But it was God, not we, who made it grow. The ones who do the planting or watering aren't important. But God is important because God is the one who makes the seed grow. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no one can boast about what they've done to be saved. Yet our responsibility is to draw closer to God, and the will of God within us wants us to draw closer. We are to ask, to seek, and to knock. Then we will receive, we will find, and it will be opened unto us. Who can help me understand how much faith toward God I have already? Well, in any situation, the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all truth. Pray with me and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal how much faith toward God you already have. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will show me now and through this day and the days to follow how much faith I have toward God and where I need to surrender my unbelief and receive your gift of more faith toward God through the faith of Christ, so that I may believe that with God all things are possible. Amen. Let's take a moment for a little self-examination exercise. For this, you're going to need a piece of paper. So let's take a piece of paper. If you're watching on DVD, you can stop and prepare your paper and return to the DVD after you finish with pausing. Fold your paper in half and again, and then we're going to fold it the other direction. And one more time. Now, when you open it up, you will have 16 squares. And what I'd like you to do, at least begin it or return to it. I'd like you to think of where you have highly developed your faith toward God. What do you know that you know that you know you have faith toward God? And then I would like you to write one word or two words in the square, and then think of another thing and write another word or two in the square. Like me, you know that you are saved. You know your salvation is sure. You know your eternity is sure. Or perhaps you know your calling. Well, you would want to write salvation. Maybe you want to do a symbol in there and draw a cross. Eternity secured. Perhaps you want to put a sunrise in there. Your calling. Well, mine is to teach and preach. I would put a Bible with my calling. See if you can fill all 16 squares with what you know for sure. You are so sure you have faith toward God for your finances, for your family, for your future, whatever. Look at every area of your life, for your health. Fill up your 16 squares where you have faith toward God. As you're doing that examination, you may realize that there are some areas in your life that are not as highly developed in faith toward God, and that you may need to surrender your unbelief and receive God's free gift of faith for that area. I would ask you to turn your sheet over and do the same thing, a word or two and a symbol for those areas. Maybe you're not highly developed in your faith toward God where finances are concerned. You might want to put a dollar sign there. And then when you're praying, and you praise God for all of these, and you turn it over and you surrender your unbelief where you do not have faith toward God. I hope you'll work on this exercise. Keep it with you. Continue to develop it. And let's continue to develop our faith toward God. When will I know I have enough faith toward God? Well, let's look in Mark chapter 11. Mark is one of the Gospels in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to chapter 11 of Mark. We're going to verse 22. How will I know when I have enough faith in God? And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, that person shall have whatever that person says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, and we trust that God has given us the desires of our heart, that we pray, God, I ask you to place within me the desires that should be in my heart. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you believe? You believe when you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How will we know when we have enough faith toward God? Well, all the mountains in your life will be cast away because you will be believing that they are gone. The things that God speaks to your heart when you're in the scriptures, the things that God speaks to your heart when you're in prayer, the things that God speaks to your heart in the night while you're thinking on the things of God, those are the things that you can pray and believe when you pray that you receive them and you shall have them. We know if we pray according to His will, we have whatever we ask of Him. What does faith toward God look like? Well, let's go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, remember all the T's in the back of the New Testament? If you get to Peter, you've gone too far. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so these folks in Thessalonica, it says here that people were talking about them all over, how they had faith Godward, how they turned to God away from their old ways and were serving the living God. So what does it look like? Faith toward God? Faith toward God is service. It looks like serving. It looks like turning away from the old evil ways, holding other things above God. Holding God up first is faith toward God. Faith toward God never attempts to reach God by human ways. Faith toward God does not try to obey rules, does not try to obey rules for the sake of getting to God or pleasing God. Obeying rules is something that happens when we live a holy life. But faith toward God is not based upon doing rituals. While rituals may help us remember our faith toward God, our faith toward God must come from the faith of Christ within us coming out. So what does faith toward God look like? It's not made of religiosity. It's not made by anything but faith that we have received from God through Christ. Believers must put aside sinful desires, but that's part of living a holy life. We put aside the sinful desires because we do live holy lives, not putting aside the sinful desires so we can live holy lives. We are holy because God within us is holy, because we have faith toward God. Our salvation does not depend on our discipline, our rule keeping, but on accepting the power of Christ's death. Accepting the power of Christ's resurrection. Accepting the power of Christ living in us. How can I put faith toward God in my daily life? Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, so no one can boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We do the good works because they come out of us, because that's who we are. People who write for a living say, "I would write anyway because I am a writer." Photographers say, "I would take pictures anyway because I am a photographer." People who act say, "I would act anyway because I am an actor." When we are Christians, we are Christ-like, and so we do the good works and the good deeds because we let Christ live in us. We don't let things get in the way of Christ living in us. One example of a good work is found in Mark 1, where Jesus explains to his disciples that many people need to hear Jesus preach the good news of the kingdom of God. He would not be deterred from his mission, not even when he left this planet. His primary mission was to preach the good news and help people place their faith in God. His job was to bring people to a place of decision that they would choose faith in God. So important was it that he said on his last words before he departed this earth, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." What about faith toward God in our everyday life? Psalm says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." And it also says in Psalms that God gives discernment, just as promised. We need to have discernment for what is good in the scriptures that will build our faith toward God. We need to spend time in the scriptures building our faith toward God. The Bible is like medicine, but medicine does no good unless you apply it. You need to put that scripture to work in your life. Finally, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all the things that belong to Christ. But never forget the warning. Today you must listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts against God as Israel did when they rebelled, so they could not and will not enter into the rewards God had planned for them and found no lasting peace here on the earth. When you slack off or see someone else falter, you must remind them and encourage them. Just as Jonathan did for David in Old Testament times, when David was being hunted by Jonathan's father to kill David before he could become king, although he had already been anointed for kingship. Jonathan went to David and said, "Fear not, be strong in the Lord. Don't be afraid." I, your new friend, Christine Carpenter, tell you, fear not, don't be afraid, be strong in the Lord. Join me next time when Scripture School will take on the third basic foundation principle, the doctrine of baptisms. We will be looking at the question, how do I know I have all the right baptisms?